Call to order of the Historic Preservation Commission meeting for the Village of River Forest on Wednesday, December 17th, 2025. Luke, can you take the roll, please?
Commissioner Schutzenhofer, Commissioner Graham White, Chair Franek,
here.
Commissioner Forehand,
here.
Commissioner Sager,
here.
Commissioner Murr, we have a quorum.
Next item is public comment. I see no one in the room in front of us. Luke, do we have anything submitted online or in writing?
Nope.
Okay. Approval of the meeting minutes for our last meeting, October 23rd, 2025. Does anyone have any comments?
No comments?
None.
Okay, I hear no comments. Is there a motion to accept?
Yeah.
Second.
Sorry.
Commissioner Schutzenhofer? A vote for the minutes?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Commissioner Graham White? Chair Franek?
Aye.
Commissioner Forehand?
Yes.
Commissioner Sager?
Yes.
And Commissioner Murr?
Yes.
Okay. They are accepted. Next. Discussion and review of the Des Plaines River Trail Plan. Luke, I hand that over to you.
So approximately maybe a month ago, there it is, a representative from the Illinois State Preservation Office, I can't think of the exact term, reached out to us about, because the proposed new Des Plaines River Trail, which runs from Toohey Avenue all the way to Madison, goes through a historic district, ours. The historic district has the opportunity to review it. And on I replied to that email saying that our commission can review it. And right now, this is the last step in phase one. This is the final piece of the puzzle, this commission's review. And then it will go into a more rigid design phase for design phase two. And this first slide is one of the proposed sections will look like. So we can briefly go through the presentation and the slides. I would remind commissioners, this is through a lens of historic preservation. That being said, any and all comments will be taken and shared with our staff members. So if you guys have, we can start with through the lens of historic preservation, but any other comments are accepted as well. So it is a, that's kind of small. It is a very long path, and Madison Street is the end where it connects to the Illinois Prairie Path. It will be, most of the upper area has been completed. I think we are the last piece of the puzzle. And one of the thoughts I had when I first heard about this is, why is this not through the woods? Because scenic through the woods. It turns out when that was asked by staff, our little area of the woods in River Forest is one of the most pristine kept woods in all of Cook County. I had no clue. As someone who grew up and spent a lot of time in those woods, I would have never known. So they did not want to put a bike path through it. So that answers that question, from at least from me. And we are all the way at the bottom of the screen there. So one of the reasons is flooding, improving safety, also connecting that Illinois, the trail to the Prairie Path, which starts on First Avenue in Maywood, I think is the, or it starts in Forest Park technically, and also just improving the general access to the trail. So we are the end of phase one, and the phase two would be the more rigid engineering and plans and construction. At this rate, we closer to 2030. So this is our little area. And the yellow is a protected bikeway, which is the top section. I understand this is kind of small. My apologies. And that will be there. Were, I think, from my understanding, there will actually be a concrete delineator as seen in the first image. And then the orange is a bike boulevard, which is just more delineated bike lanes. But it's my understanding it will not have that rigid barrier. And then the blue in the south portion of town, I think, will actually be a separate path up on out of the street running along the woods. I think this is Thatcher right here. And it's very small. My apologies. Come along. This one, I don't know if anyone can see. I'm sorry, but there is a little concrete delineator right there. This is for the north section of town. And this is here. It comes under the viaduct, and now we are in the south portion of town. And then you can see it hops up along this bottom, and that is actually, yes, that will be the up close to the wood section. It will be out of the street.
So, two questions. First, which side of the street, east or west, would the path be located?
It will be on the western side.
Okay.
And also, go on, actually.
And secondly, can you switch back to the other plan that shows the concrete separator you had mentioned? Gotcha. Okay.
And it is my understanding that no parking will be impacted by this. In some areas, there will be a little bit of widening. I don't think it will be that much, not more than a couple of feet.
Yeah.
I think just off Madison will be that section where it is up above the curb. I think I used to mow that section when I worked for Public Works. There is that little kind of grass path almost, usually where people throw their trash when they're driving through town. So that was another one of my duties, picking up the trash there. But I think that will be the area that will be used as sort of an up off the ground and I th an off the street section.
Like there's just a small part of it that is in front of residences, correct? It's, yeah, and that was probably where you'd have the concrete barrier, or
I do think the concrete barrier.
oh, it stops at Chicago, but
Yes. Yeah.
okay.
So I think the tightest area, if I had to guess, and I think it's reflected by the bike boulevard, is that center portion of town
Okay.
from Chicago to Lake Street. That, and I think that's why it's a bike boulevard, which will not be fully separated. And I just have more intense striping. And then, so that northern area will be where it has the protected bikeway.
Okay. Yeah. Seems to make sense that, I mean, we're not going to have an architectural feature or anything
Yeah.
in that area where you have these historic homes.
Yeah, I don't have any objections from a historic preservation standpoint, but as someone who lives one block to the east, Thatcher is heavily trafficked. It is also an area that is the frequent location of deer bounding across the road, or particularly between Madison and Lake, going on the margins of the road. So it's an area that's already somewhat challenging from a public safety standpoint. My observation is that from a public safety standpoint, bicyclists should be encouraged to obey the rules of the road and not blast through stop signs when there is traffic present. I think we've all seen that.
So between Lake and North Avenue, it's going to be in the right.
Between from Lake to North Avenue will be from Lake to North Avenue. So from Lake here, the orange will be the boulevard. That's like right. That will be the just the regular striping, or I cannot speak to what the striping is. It is once it gets past Chicago is when it turns into the ridge, more rigid with the concrete. And down here, the blue is when it's my understanding it will be almost like up on the grass.
My concern is really more from increased utilization by bikes.
Yeah.
Because between deer and folks just blithely blowing through stop signs, there already are some safety issues. And it's not only, by the way, on Thatcher that bicyclists blow through stop signs. It's fairly frequent, unfortunately, in our village. It's like, I mean, I can see other commissioners nodding their heads. We've all had that experience,
yeah.
Unfortunately. Indeed. Yeah. Indeed. Yep, that is true.
On the weekends, yes, everyone knows. Yeah.
I run by me. Washington.
Yeah, so there are improvements in the hopper regarding Washington. So that will be, that's.
And I went to the meeting, those improvements are going to help a lot.
Fingers crossed, yeah.
Okay.
I don't have anything to say about historic preservation. It's all traffic and safety to me too, rather than I don't see how the so that's it. That's my way in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They're oh, I'm sure. Yeah. Yeah. There's a rather large male in, with a massively bushy tail, and there's a female whose tail is not nearly as bushy.
Yeah, send him that way.
One of our neighbors has indicated that some rabbits have taken housekeeping up underneath their porch. So that explains why in going down the street in front of us, the coyotes will make a beeline right up their sidewalk, check all the way along the lattice work underneath their porch. We do have a lot of wildlife, invited and otherwise.
It's true.
So,
well, before we head down the wildlife path, any further comments, historic or while we're here, the traffic and safety, I will pass along those comments as well, at least. Okay.
Yeah. Beyond the comments, do we need to make any sort of motion to say it, or is it just passing on?
I think I need Dave to... Chair Franek here to sign a letter at some point, just saying they reviewed it. But I don't think a motion
okay.
or anything would be needed. Maybe unless there was more substantial, I would recommend that. But
yeah, unless somebody says otherwise, I'm not hearing any objections from a historic preservation standpoint.
No. Okay. All right. Well, that will lead us to our next. Our next item.
Yeah. As we are all aware, our longtime colleague and friend, David Reynal Ogden, was one of the original members of the commission passed while on a family vacation with family and friends in Montana. And at the last commission meeting, it was proposed and adopted that we request the village board of trustees designate the 500 and 600 blocks of Edgewood Place as honorary David Reynal Ogden Way. And Luke, if you can read what you have drafted in that regard.
So I wrote this, so I'll just read it into the record, and then afterwards we'll go over with any suggested changes. Chair Franek caught a couple things. So, but this is the draft copy of a resolution honoring David Reynal Ogden and providing an honorary designation of the 500 block of Edgewood Place as David Reynal Ogden Way. Whereas David Reynal Ogden was an original member of the Village of River Forest Historic Preservation Commission and contributed greatly to the foundation and direction of the commission, offering his professional insight and commitment to the preservation of community character. And whereas his name was called on the roll for more than 190 Historic Preservation Commission meetings over the years, reflecting the depth of his early involvement and the lasting presence of his service in the commission's history. And whereas during his time on the commission, he consistently offered guidance, shared creative ideas, often hand-drawn architectural sketches to help applicants visualize suggestions, and assisted applicants in understanding design considerations with thoughtfulness and care, while frequently lighting up the room, lightening the room with a corny joke. And whereas David Reynal Ogden was known for his warmth, humor, and social spirit, and his presence brought joy, laughter, and camaraderie to every meeting, leaving a lasting impression on colleagues, friends, and community members alike. And whereas he made his home on the 500 block of Edgewood Place in the William E. Drummond House, a highly regarded Prairie School residence designed in 1909 by William Eugene Drummond, a home widely recognized as one of the best examples of Prairie School and list Prairie School architecture.
Mm-hmm.
And listed on the National Register of Historic Places in 1970. And the rest of this, I will keep going because there are some. Now, therefore, be it resolved, the village president and board of trustees of the Village of River Forest do hereby recognize and honor the life of David Reynal Ogden and extend their sincere appreciation for his decades of dedicated service, leadership, and lasting contributions to the architectural, cultural, and civic vitality of the community. Mm-hmm. And be it further resolved, the 500 block of Edgewood Place shall have a secondary designation as David Reynal Ogden Way. Section 2. The Board of Trustees requests that the village place an honorary street sign on Edgewood Place to reflect the David Reynal Ogden Way designation. Section 3. By this resolution, the Board of Trustees does not intend to affect any existing or future signage that reflects the secondary destination of Edgewood, except for the honorary sign described in Section 2 of this resolution. Section 4, the Board of Trustees shall ensure that a suitable copy of this resolution is presented to the Reynal Ogden family as an expression of the board's esteem and sincere good wishes. So Dave had pointed out, Chair Franek here had pointed out, it's actually the 500 and 600 block, not the 500 block. So that is a change. And I originally wrote Prairie House, should be Prairie School. And this is and the last whereas. Examples of Prairie School, and I think architecture should be added after that. And towards the end there, for the section 4, to the Reynal Ogden family. Thank you for that. Okay, so does anyone else have any considerations, thoughts, suggestions?
Yeah. It's very well written, Luke.
I think it's beautiful.
Yeah, I think well written.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
Yeah, it was interesting because a resolution is usually extremely formal, but David had quite the sense of humor. So trying not to manage that with his formal with the formal tone was tricky. So
you've done good.
Thank you.
He was an extraordinary professional. He was a wonderful friend. And he was a Renaissance man. Had a lot of talents. Architecture, poetry, fly fishing, among others. And he will be greatly missed. So.
Thank you, Luke.
Okay.
Is there... You had to do a motion a second yeah. for this one for sure. Yeah. So in light of the changes stated this evening...
Is there a motion to adopt the resolution?
I so move to adopt.
Is there? Luke.
Commissioner Schützenhofer. Commissioner Graham-White. Chair Franek. Commissioner Forehand.
Yes.
Commissioner Sager.
Yes.
And Commissioner Murr.
Yes.
Hello. Yes, we do. Okay. And it's unusual, but you are here. Does the commission wish to amend the normal rules and allow some public comment?
I would say yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So, sure. Oh, no problem.
No.
No problem. We're very user friendly.
You promised not to belabor you all and get you out of here, make it over.
No problem.
Is this a good time? Yeah.
Yes. Yep.
Okay. My name is Jeannie Calabrese. My address is 616 Lathrop.
I'm Dave Dwyer. We're married.
We
live in the same place.
We live in the same place. So I would like to thank the members of the commission for their efforts to maintain the character, history, and architectural heritage of the village. It is the preservation of these attributes that keep our village second to none when it comes to architectural significance and property values throughout the western suburbs. In light of the chairman's September 25th concern, that work being completed in the village without the commission's review, we are bringing to your attention the proposed addition of tennis court lights at the River Forest Tennis Club. Designed by Frank Lloyd Wright, the club's low flowing horizontal lines blend with the neighboring residential community. Court lighting would not retain the historic relationship between the building and the landscape, and it is not compatible with the historic character of the property or the 21 other historic properties in the surrounding vicinity. Adding light fixtures would create an inaccurate appearance of the site. We are in the process of getting letters of support from the National Trust for Historic Preservation and the Illinois State Historic Preservation Officer, Kerry Mayer. Given the ordinance is currently being revised, we ask that Section 13-2-6-E, Design Standards of the Historic Preservation Ordinance, include the Secretary of Interior Standards for Historic Preservation, including outdoor lighting. They stipulate low levels of lighting and historic levels appropriate to the historic district. In addition, to further strengthen the ordinance, elevation should replace the three places facade is used for consistency throughout the ordinance. The change would also make our ordinance align more closely to Oak Park's ordinance, which uses the language site, building, structure, or improvement. So we'd like you to commit to revising these additions that strengthen the ordinance by bringing it in line with not only neighboring communities, but both state and national level standards. Do you support these suggestions?
Okay, we're here to listen to your comments as opposed to have a dialogue back and forth.
Of course. Yeah. So we hope that you will consider these suggestions.
Okay. Can you specifically, you said communities, is there anyone other than Oak Park that you're aware of that has these within their standards?
Do we know?
We didn't do any other research.
Okay.
Still Park.
So it's Oak Park, and you referenced the Secretary of the Interior's standards. Is there a reference you can give us to that?
We could send it to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Please.
Send it to me, Luke Masella. I can give you guys my business card after.
That would be helpful.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you again. Apologies.
No apologies, sir. Thank you. Okay. Well, all right, getting back to the meeting, discussion grant, proposed rewrite of the Village Historic Preservation Ordinance. Luke and I have been working on this significantly. And in going through this, we have made several changes. There are also several other conceptual changes that in rereading it, I believe they do not quite reflect a sort of outline that's easier to follow. But rather, it's a lengthier sentence that contains various alternatives. So we are going to work for the next meeting on fine-tuning those two items, those three items. But what I would like to do, in addition to discussing any other thoughts and comments that people have on what's in the ordinance in terms of the revisions or anything else in the ordinance, I'd like to outline those specifically just to confirm what our understanding is of a couple of areas, if I may. The first of those deals, when we're talking about the certificate of appropriateness and the standards that are applicable to it. In looking at the process, the way the ordinance is currently set up, the logical progression is 13.1.3, the rights and duties of the commission, 13.1.4, definitions applicable to and processes applicable to local landmarks, 13.1.5, withdrawal of the designation of a local landmark, 13.1.6, certificate of appropriateness application requirements, 13.1.7, work that is subject to the HPC review, and 13.1.8, what that review procedures are. In going through this, I want to confirm one point, because there are a couple of instances where the applicable provisions are more expanded in one section than they are in another. And I want to make certain that they are all consistent throughout, as opposed to someone saying, well, it's said in this one, but not in that. Therefore, it's not applicable to all those instances. That is as follows. As written, the distinction between a significant property and a landmark, the operative distinction, is that there is no demolition allowed of local landmarks. They are at the request of an owner, as confirmed by the commission through a public hearing process. All of the other provisions in terms of alterations, the 20% requirement, the fact that our thoughts are advisory only, are applicable to both significant properties and to local landmarks. However, as I said, the one distinction is that a local landmark cannot be torn down without a certificate of approval. Now, as with anything else, the denial of a certificate of approval could be appealed to the village board. Okay. But I believe that's what we have consistently agreed to, but I want to make certain, though, that that's the commission's present sense of what we're talking about. Correct?
Correct, yeah.
Okay. Secondly, when we deal with the Architectural Review Subcommittee, the the current language kind of shifts back and forth between what the obligations are and what the review standards are. And I think it's clearer and cleaner to state that as to accessory structures, the process is really one of the application for COA goes to the Architecture Review Subcommittee, which will then apply the four-point test we've previously talked about to determine its applicability. Because this is an accessory structure on a significant property, basically the question is it something that's contemporaneous? Is it something that's shown in reference specifically in the architectural survey? Does it have particular characteristics of construction? Is there a building permit? Things of this nature, so we can tie it in. If not, and the Architecture Review Subcommittee believes that is not the case, then the Architecture Review Subcommittee would be empowered to say, no, fine, do with it as you will, because it's not significant, even though it's an accessory structure on a significant property. If, however, they do determine that it is significant, then it then gets passed on, the application gets passed on to the commission, which will then review the application to determine whether it's complete in accordance with the requirements of the ordinance, that we've got enough information to make a determination. And then we would review this because we are then treating that accessory structure on a significant property the same as a principal building. Note that there may be more than one principal building on a significant property. We're just treating it all the same. The Architecture Review Subcommittee, in addition to doing its work within 7 days on windows, is basically acting as a gatekeeper with respect to potential alterations and demolitions of accessory structures on significant properties. Is that what everybody is? I think that's what we're talking about. Okay. Okay, can we get like a verbalization of that so we get something on the right?
That's certainly my understanding of the process.
Yeah.
That makes me me comfortable.
Okay. All right.
Yes.
That then will be some additional noodling. And then it, the last thing is, in terms of the findings of the commission, the I've suggested to Luke that once the determination has been made, the commission's made its determination, it can do one of the following. It can approve, condition, or deny, subject to a 30-day delay, a certificate of appropriateness for a proposed alteration of significant properties or local landmarks. Or B, or two, grant or deny a COA for proposed demolition of a significant property. That delay would be either the current 6 months or potentially 9 months, or 12 months if it's a PRI zone, okay? And third, we can grant or deny a COA for proposed demolition of a local landmark. There is no time limit with respect to that. That is something, again, as with all of our actions, if someone feels aggrieved, they can always appeal to the village board. Okay, it's just a cleaner way to look at it as opposed to having to reference things within a paragraph. That sort of breaks it, it breaks it out kind of like an old-fashioned outline back from your, you know, junior high school days.
Still effective.
Well, it is. And I'm a firm believer that this, that the ordinance works when it's something that anybody can pick it up, read it, and understand it. And we also obviously have a flow chart attached to it, which is easier, but it also should be, the two should be entirely consistent, and one shouldn't be, you know, dispositive. You know, the ordinance is dispositive, but they shouldn't be in conflict in any sense. I guess the only other thing before I open it up is, any other comments that people have on rewriting the ordinances? We look forward to getting that information. And once we get it, you know, we'll get it in advance of our next meeting. We'll take a look at it. But until now, it's kind of, it's difficult to look at something without some factual background. Okay, thanks. Does anyone have any comments on the redraft of the ordinance? Riveting though it may be.
I what's this on 13.1.8? What's the rewrite?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't understand.
There are two instances. There's that one, and there's one a couple inches below.
The Scrivener's error, we'll call it, of the deputy clerk. Yes.
I've read that term before.
Yes.
Yeah.
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 Okay, thank you.
It's in process. It's got to be done. Okay. It's a placeholder.
Okay.
To say it's something that we need that needs to be done so the whole thing flows, because in this the way the ordinance works, the same concept is referenced in a couple of places. It has to be thoroughly uniform in both places, because in one instance it's about the powers, in the other instance it's about, okay, how do you effectuate it.
I have
Rick, please. Oh, go for it.
Mm-hmm. On the 13-1-7, the comments on the subcommittee, they use windows as an example. Isn't there other examples other than just windows that the subcommittee would consider?
So as of right now, the subcommittee has, since I've been here, just been utilized for windows. And it's my, I don't know if there's prior history of it being used, but I think at some point it was written in for window applications. I don't know why, but that is just why the subcommittee is used. So I think in some ways we have expanded their powers.
So the things like fences to be replaced, or a roof material is to be replaced with a different texture, different color. Is that
included? Not particularly the fence, but a roof potentially.
Not something that's up to me.
A roof, I think I would take, I guess hypothetically, it's up to the commission if that's something the commission would like to add, but I think that would, I would just put that application through. This through a whole way. We've done siding at once. There was, someone was redoing the siding on their house since I've been here, and we redid that. And So.
Just curious why Lindo
was the only thing. Is there any historic lore, I guess, is why it just went up? Yeah.
I think windows were viewed as the classic example of a change which, because of the massing, could collectively leap over the 20% linear threshold. That's why we did windows and not doors, because the likelihood of doors expanding, you know, beyond 20% would be, you know, probably much less. In terms of roof and roof lines, I would think, John, I mean, you can speak as an architect, but I would think that could have a significant impact on the historical status of a structure, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. With the different type of materials, and you know, you take a tile roof off, restore it, drastically change it.
And I think the purpose for one of the other purposes for the windows is the ordinance initially, as it currently stands, one of the impetuses, I guess that's a word, for the rewrite was the concern by the two architects on the commission that it would be better for us to weigh in on a COA before the applicant went for a building permit, because our experience has been on a fair number of occasions that people would come, they would present something, and I know our late colleague David Reno Ogden was kind of famous for this. He would sketch something and say, "What about that?" And the response would be, "That's great, but I have a basement full of windows that my contractor made me buy. What do I do?" So this way, we're kind of getting ahead of the problem. I think that's the reason for the windows. It's also the reason for this. It's also limited because it's like 7 days, which is virtually no time. It's basically five working days. It's pretty tight. And by the way, the fact that this is your second meeting has absolutely no impact upon your ability at the comment. No question is ever stupid, ever. And I have always made the point that everybody is absolutely entitled to speak their mind, speak their piece. The only limitations, and it's never been a problem with a commission, are to be germane, not to be overly repetitive, and to be respectful. Other than that, have at it. No, we all are equal. No one has a greater voice than another. Yeah.
Seemed clumsy to me when I read through all of the documents last month. So if an owner has a good architect involved in a project, it just seems like you're asking for a debate about appropriate, you know, to get through approval, the approval process. It would seem to be more a bit firmer to get a super critical approval rather than appropriateness. It just seems like you're asking for a debate rather than you're giving an approval.
Well, it's funny because you said certificate of approval as you were discussing a few things. It rolls off the tongue easier too. I've certainly seen certificate of appropriateness in a lot of different jurisdictions. Not sure why, but that is more of a, you know, I know don't. Historic reviews and be interesting to know the history of why it is that versus approval. It's an interesting point.
We don't have to debate it.
Yeah.
Rich, the reason why people are looking at me is in addition to being the remaining original, I also practiced law for 38 years and dealt with a lot of ordinances. And the phrase certificate of appropriateness is pretty much the standard phrase that tends to be used in ordinances. And when we first started looking at this ordinance, and I had some input in kind of noodling around some revisions on the original one, close to 20 years ago, I looked at ordinances throughout the state, across the country, and the certificate of appropriateness and the abbreviation COA tends to be kind of the standard phrase that people use, you know, good, bad, or indifferent. It's a good question, though.
The other one I have is, so if an owner, whether it's an original owner or somebody that purchases a home on the list, and he wants to do some work for whatever reason, like he's got a handicapped person, you know, again, has a, you know, a good architect involved, and, you know, doesn't get approved. So can an owner have their home taken off the list?
I think so.
They could.
Yeah.
They could. Yeah, we're advisory. Yeah. Basically, if we don't approve it, you wait 30 days and you can do your thing. I mean, our role is to counsel people because historically, homes which are situated in communities that have preservation ordinances tend to have higher property values. And as such, it was viewed when we were looking at the creation of an ordinance and the formation of the commission, that we be tasked with a variety of things. In addition to public education and keeping a survey, the idea was to sort of inform the public on various aspects of preservation. And as such, that's why, I mean, our role is advisory. We are, the phrase I like to use, though, is we are not the paint police. We're not going to tell someone that they can't paint their house a specific color. Now, you know, I mean, there are communities in our country where the ordinances are much more tight, and they will, in fact, tell people, no, you can't paint it that color. We also have zero jurisdiction on what people do on the insides of their property. That's yours. Go for it. It's only your business. It's not ours. And that is something that also is common, but it's not universal. There are a number of places where, in fact, there are preservation commissions that do, in fact, have jurisdiction over what occurs on the inside of properties. So ours is a very light touch, as it were. Okay. More are always fine. Yeah. And if I sound like I'm belaboring the point, as I always said, there's no rookies, there are no veterans, we're all teammates. The idea is just figure it out. Does anybody else have any thoughts? Jan?
No, I do not.
Brian?
No.
John?
I would just say, this is the last time we want to do this for a while. So I like, if it takes more time to,
absolutely. I would agree. I mean, it's taking time.
Yeah.
And I think part of the process, is it Otto von Bismarck, the two things you want to see made are laws and sausages? I mean, there's a lot of thrashing around. I mean, the reason why there is a redraft, as it were, that you see is because after going through the first draft, I thought this was a little difficult for people to have a sense of. That was my first go around on some of the thoughts. So I think we're making real good progress, because I think it's going to be something that's going to be readable and understandable and continue to be workable, as have our other efforts. So yeah,
I think from my perspective too, is that we got, like at the last meeting, for Carla and Brian, who were in attendance, I think like the commission had started off in part to make it more easily readable, but then we made so many changes to it. And I think Dave eventually was like, wait a minute, like we gotta simplify it. Actually, that was one of the reasons we started. So that's kind of one of the, while we're kind of, I guess, a little bit going back to the drawing board regarding some sections, because it's like, wait, this has to be easy to understand.
There's a famous line in the novella and later movie, A River Runs Through It, where the minister father is teaching his son how to write, and he gives him a theme to write on. And he comes back in an hour after his son has written something. He looks at it and says, hands it back to him and says, half again as long. The idea is to keep distilling it so that it's tight and there's no gaps. There's no, well, wait a minute, shouldn't this be referenced? That kind of stuff. So,
I'm sorry.
No, please.
Okay. So we've got a yellow marker in here, because we don't have days. So this is 13.18b.
Page 13 of the red line copy.
Of either one.
Okay.
Actually, you can go to page 13 on the,
yes,
not red lined. Yeah, 13-8, 1-8B. And you go to page 13, and we have a yellow, little yellow highlight there.
So that yellow highlight is for architecture, regarding windows, the architectural subcommittee has 7 days. That yellow highlight, it was discussed at the previous meeting. What should the timeline, or should there be a different timeline for garages, for the architectural subcommittee to respond, thus potentially starting the COA process?
Should there be a timeline within which the subcommittee needs to make a determination that one of the four litmus tests has been met, and therefore the accessory building is of significance such that it goes to the full commission for review? 7 days may be a little short.
I could see that being a little short, just because we may have to do some research.
Yeah.
So maybe it's 14. Give us 2 weeks.
Thoughts? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, windows are pretty straightforward. It's kind of thumbs up, thumbs down kind of thing. We're looking at, no, you should have done this, should have done this, like, yeah, that. This is a lot. This involves some actual consideration and review. And this is after someone has gotten the specific materials to them.
Yeah, I think that's appropriate.
And that's something that has to be added into the rewrite, because at that point in time, it's giving sufficient information to make a determination for the applicability of the four standards, as opposed to the concept that the application is of in itself complete. That's kind of, that's the level of kind of following the thing that is part of the process. That's a good catch, Jim.
Well, it was highlighted in yellow.
Excuse me?
Well, it was highlighted in yellow, so, but thank you.
The longer one looks at something, the more one tends not to see all the fine points.
Yeah.
It tends to blend a bit. That's why you step back and read it again. Any other thoughts?
No.
Okay. Well. Okay. Next, discussion regarding protection, promotion, River Forest architecture and history. Are there any other items that members of the commission would like to bring to the commission and public's attention?
Not here.
I would like to thank the couple for coming in. And because I have thought about the, you know, the lighting over at the tennis club and thought, and I was curious from the historian of the group, is it appropriate for the commission to, if it was decided that we thought it was appropriate, is it appropriate for the commission to put together a comment to the village board in regards to that issue?
Yeah, that's why I want to get some more information.
Okay. I think because it's going through a plan development process, that might be the, because I think other commissioners, different commissions, but I think the plan development process needs to finish first, or it's the dominating process, is my very extremely limited understanding. So, but yeah, I will have to get back to you guys about that one for sure.
Okay. Yeah.
Are there any other details on the lighting? Is there a curfew on the lighting?
What went from that to that? There's a really large presentation that was put together by our vision central, so it's anywhere.
So just for while we're here.
Pictures of the lighting fixtures. The proposed lighting fixtures? Yeah, well, they're in this process of revising it, so that will be public.
Yes. Sorry, I didn't realize I was that close. Yes, Carla, we have all this information staff side. I'm unaware of the status of their application. I know it was being revised, and that was part of the reason why the previous meeting was continued, because from my understanding, new stuff had come in. I do not know what the status is of that right now, or what we do or do not have. So I will report back.
The information is public.
Thank you.
I don't have the next meeting date on me right now. I want to say like late January, definitely maybe. Yeah, I might be getting mixed up with another meeting, so I will. I don't want to give any wrong dates.
Okay. If there are no other items, the only other item of business is to wish everyone a good and happy and healthy and safe holiday season, however one celebrates. And may we have a better year next year. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Yes.
Is second. There a second?
Second. Commissioner Schutzenhofer?
Yes.
Commissioner Graham-White? Chair Franek?
Aye.
Commissioner Forehan?
Yes.
Commissioner Sager?
Yes.
And Commissioner Muir?
Yes.
All right. Meeting adjourned at 7.